Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. I'm here today in the Oklahoma studios with Maddie Lee.
Hi. I just realized I didn't bring my box score in here, but, you know,
nobody cares.
Do it on the fly.
It's the preseason, Maddie. Come on.
I'm 100% in preseason form.
Nobody wants your box score.
I'm going to pull it up.
Maddie had a late night return to Oklahoma City from Tulsa a la the playoffs. She needs to be in postseason form, and she's in preseason form.
Yeah, just not – my fitness is not where it needs to be.
We're not talking about box scores. Today we're talking about pickles and beef jerky. That's all we're talking about.
That's what I ate on the way back.
In the car with another person?
There's beef jerky residue on my seats. I woke up this morning. Jenny Carlson is also here, Oklahoma columnist, by the way. And we shouldn't waste Jenny's time because she has to.
I want to hear about this. And also, my own quick beef jerky aside, my husband, the lovely Ryan, the awesome Ryan, is not a Ryan you see in the newspaper, by the way, another Ryan.
The 60th Ryan in the
in my life. Lineup. He once upon a time decided to purchase garlic beef jerky. Oh. You've never lived until you've been in a car with somebody else eating garlic beef jerky. I nearly kicked him out of the car. It was terrible.
Well, what happened for me was I was so focused on not getting pickle juice anywhere.
Yeah.
I forgot about the beef jerky.
We went into, if for people who are familiar with the Kilpatrick Turnpike between Tulsa and Oklahoma City, there's one stop, basically. Yep. Everything else is just little drive. Truck stop town or little small towns.
Yeah.
But there's that one stop where there's the McDonald's and the gas station.
It's like 1 a.m. We haven't eaten since before the game.
Yeah. Well, I had some cookies after the game. I didn't tell you that. But
Come on.
She's outraged. Outraged.
No.
So
betrayed.
We stop and we get snacks. And there was also this cool little kind of like heater thingy that they put the donuts in so the donuts don't get cold. So I got to eat hot donuts.
He was very excited.
Yeah, I was pretty excited.
He may or may not have sang about it.
I was also stir crazy because it was like 1 in the morning. I was losing my mind. Maddie and I were like singing. But
you do what you gotta do.
Maddie finds the pickle in a bag, which is a common thing in Louisiana. I don't know if it's a common thing in Kansas where you grew up, Jenny, but the pickle in the bag.
I know what it is, but no, I don't think
it's very
not
common.
In Seattle.
It's very common.
It's shocking that.
We used to buy these when I was a kid. We used to buy pickle in a bag. It'll be like they'd have different flavors, like hot pickle, or they'd have just like a regular dill or whatever.
Did Louisiana convenience stores have the eggs in a jar?
Yes, 100%. Pickled eggs. Louisiana convenience stores have the pickled pigs. Name your part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I don't remember any pickled pig parts when I was a kid in convenience stores. In my small town.
Tongue twister. Yeah. Pickled pig parts.
Pickled pig parts.
But I think a few convenience stores I remember as a kid had the eggs in the jar. I thought that was always weird. I was like, isn't that kind of yuck?
It's all gross.
I don't want that.
I don't want things.
I did want the pickle, though.
And it's in its own bag, so you know it's just yours. Yeah. So your germs are your own.
But, yeah, then I got some beef jerky that I thought looked like it would be better.
Really
it was the driest beef jerky
it's really tough.
I've ever had in my life. So that's why it's all over, because I was using like my entire body to bite off chunks.
Yeah, you were pulling at it.
Hey, just get one of your dogs. You guys can let loose the dogs in your car, and they'll find every bit and lap it up.
You probably would love beef jerky. But anyway, like I had to mandate to Maddie, like as soon as I saw her in that section and she like picked it up, I'm like, you're gonna drain that, right? Because if you've never had a pickle in a bag, It's something where you would easily spill all the salt and juice and all that stuff.
That's true.
And I'm like, Maddie, you got to drain that thing before we get in.
I was very careful. I drained it. I got like a stack of paper towel or napkins the size of Mount Rushmore. It like very careful on the pickle and then just not at all on the beef jerky.
Okay.
So make this a lesson to you. Do not make my same mistakes on your next road trip.
It was fine. It was little to no mess in the car.
Was Maddie's performance better or worse than the Thunder?
Oh, good segue.
Thank you.
I don't know, man.
Mine wasn't as promising as theirs. But, it's all going downhill from here.
To me, look, man. To me, but that is promising. That was your first time with a bag pickle.
That's true.
You basically did the equivalent of Steven Adams hitting a three-pointer on the opening possession.
Yes.
I have to admit, I was – so Ryan, my aforementioned husband's birthday was yesterday. And so we,
happy birthday,
yeah,
Ryan.
So we went out to have a little dinner. We were somewhere where the game was on. But I was blocked a little bit by a hanging light. And it just so happened the hanging light blocked the corner when the Thunder was on the right side as they were
so
going.
So you're like, who was that?
I was like, okay, I see. Wait, that was Steven Adams. Like, I had to, like, take account of who all I could see on the court. And I was like,
process of elimination.
What? That was exciting, y'all.
That was the exact reaction of the entire arena. So
all five people there were very excited.
Oh, boy.
But, no, I mean, the story, I mean, Steven Adams' three-pointer wrote Maddie's story, yep, basically, in, yep, the first possession of the game. Oh, thank by you. The way, the Thunder won. They beat the Mavericks. Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis didn't play. Let's get that out of the way.
Don't you wish you had a box score right now so that you could remember the score?
I remember everything.
You just looked at my computer.
I remember everything off the top of my, nope, I remember everything. I could recite every single statistic from last night off the top.
All
of
right, go, score.
The score was 119-104.
How many points did Shai Gilgeous-Alexander score?
24 points, 3 rebounds, 3 turnovers.
Wow.
1 assist. No, he had 4 rebounds. I'm sorry.
Say it one more time.
7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, 6 of 7 from the line? 6 of 7 from the line?
Have you become,
no,
have you become like, what's,
yes,
his name?
4 of 8 from 3.
Remembering like what play he called. What's that guy's name? The NFL coach that recites like on 3rd and 8?
It's probably Sean McVay.
Yeah, Sean McVay. Have you become a Sean McVay? Are you
just today. It was the donuts. It was the donuts.
And 4 rebounds. And so, yeah, you actually,
4 rebounds.
You actually,
Chris Paul had 5 turnovers.
How many for the whole team?
Billy said 20, but I think the box score says 19.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
When did you get this skill? This wasn't here last year.
Have you been working on this?
It's
off-season?
My mind is clear right now.
Because there's only been one game. They're not,
yeah, because there's
overlapping.
Only been one game. And I saw that that Bradley Cooper movie, Limitless, with the drugs that makes your mind like clear. So like I'm like kind of channeling some of that right now. Anyway. Okay. What did y'all like from last night, aside from you know, Steven Adams coming out and shooting a three-pointer? Maddie, why don't you start?
Ball movement. Because we heard,
yes,
we heard them talk about it all week.
Yes.
And we're like, okay, we'll see. And they did a great job. You know, of course they weren't perfect throughout it. And we just talked about the turnovers.
Yeah.
But you saw them making a real effort to keep the ball moving. You had really – and the result of that was a really balanced box score. I think at the half, everyone who had gotten in the game had scored. And – everyone, let's see if you remember this, almost everyone, either almost everyone, if not everyone of the starters had double digits. It was like 10 for Shai, 15
it was
for
very
Steven,
close. Yeah.
10 for Gallinari.
And
I don't know what Schroeder had off the top of my head.
I think Schroeder at halftime had, because he scored 6 of his 13 after half, so he had 7 at half.
Okay, Chris Paul only finished the game with 6, so he did not have double digits at the half. But
he was like 2 for 3 from the field or something like,
yeah,
that. He shot pretty well, pretty efficiently. Yeah, go on, Maddie. Ball movement was, I thought, was one of the key things we were looking for. We got it in the first game.
Yeah, that was the summary. But then now if you're listening to me list, I won't take it from you.
Anyway. No, go ahead.
Okay, now that you're listening to me list off starters, they started 3-point guards, which Billy had been promising that we'd see like all week long. I didn't expect it to be immediately, and like that's no guarantee at all whatsoever that he'll even start them all on Thursday tomorrow. Yeah. But it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing guys do some things. I mean, obviously the Adams thing comes up, but I mean, seeing guys do things that, you know, we didn't see them before, and you know, or we saw it very limited. You know, just sort of recognizing that these guys have some skills that either they've developed or brought to the front or needed to, you know, use more. I don't know what the answer to the why is or the how is, but, I mean, the why is obvious, and, you know, losing Russ and Paul. But You know, I think it's exciting to think, again, you know, it's one game. The other team didn't play their two best players. All of that, all the caveats, I get it. But it's just interesting, I mean, in a way that we haven't had in a while, to sort of see what can these guys become individually and as a team. So I don't know. I mean, I think that you know, I thought their defense was pretty solid. Offense obviously gonna be hard to score points without those two superstars. But you know, you like some early returns. I think
if they had lost and played that exact same way, I would have felt just as optimistic about it.
Yeah, because especially, you know, watching the second half, you saw, you know, obviously guys that would be in there, not in there, and lineups that were kind of all over the place and, you know, who's with who and all that stuff. I think at one point, I think the Mavericks had an all-guard lineup out there at one point, I think.
They went really small for a while.
There was some odd stuff. But, I mean, I think that even with all of that, I think that there was some, I think there was some positive stuff. And, you know, in some ways, it would have been interesting to see some of that play with the previous set of guys, to see some individuals do things they did last night that maybe they didn't otherwise do under the Russ, George, even back into the Durant era.
Yeah, we can get into that. But I guess my biggest takeaway, aside from Adams, was the young guys. I thought the young guys played particularly well. Maybe not defensively. I think Hamidou Diallo still has a long way to go defensively. He left a lot of stuff open on the backside, and you know, even a guy like Darius Bazley still has a ways to go defensively. But I think that them having more opportunities to open up their game and not be kind of put in a box the way that they were with some of these different stars is going to make for a fun brand of basketball. Now, is the Thunder going to be a playoff team and win a bunch of games and be a four seed like they've been, you know, in the past few years? No. But I think it's still going to make for a brand of basketball that people are going to want to watch and be excited about.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of actually reminded me of the Mavericks from last year. And the Mavericks last year, they weren't as talented as this Thunder team, but they were somebody who was going to compete every night, and they were going to play hard, and they were going to give some good teams problems. And
like the Thunder.
Yeah, like the Thunder, every time they played them, when they gave a bunch of threes. And the Mavericks gave a bunch of threes last night, and the Thunder made them at a high clip. And it's not going to go that way for the Thunder.
Almost as high as they did all shots. Or like shooting 53% from the field and 50% from three. I remember that one.
Yeah. And
locked in there. Way to go.
I got one.
And you can't expect that from the Thunder throughout the season, because they're going to play teams with, you know, actual lineups that are going to be able to be better than their lineup for 30 or 35 minutes, the minutes that matter.
Yeah.
But last night was fun. And it's not that the Thunder hasn't been fun in the, whether it was the Durant era or the Westbrook era, but you kind of knew what you were getting the last 3 years with Westbrook and Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and those characters. Typically, those guys were going to be taking the shots at the end of the shot clock. There wasn't going to be a ton of off-ball movement. You were never going to see Steven Adams popping out the three, because he was a guy who needed to be inside crashing the offensive glass.
Yeah.
It was just different, and sometimes different isn't necessarily better, but it's refreshing and it's fun. And that was the thing that I took from last night, even though it's just preseason game one.
You know, guys, I mean, I think we've often said that, you know, this franchise, I mean, with rare exception, this has always been an interesting and entertaining franchise, sometimes in a very maddening and frustrating way, but there was always something interesting happening with this team. It's a whole different way, but I think, again, we're looking at a situation where, you know, this is just going to be interesting, because there's the unknown of who's here in a month, 2 months, All-Star break, whatever mark you want to throw out there. You don't know how are they gonna play against teams that, you know, do different things. All of it is unknown at this point, and so to me, there's intrigue there. For a whole other reason, but it's kind of hard not to watch.
Yeah, I think my big one for this season, and for anyone who is invested in this franchise long term is how are they going to develop these young guys? And Baisley, who Eric mentioned, was a guy who kind of surprised me because we saw him in Summer League and, like, very understandably, he looked a little rusty because he, the last time he played was almost a year ago in high school. So, like, yes, you know, it's going to take a little while to get to know your teammates and get back into a rhythm of things. And then we saw him in Blue and White, and it was like, oh, okay, this kid looks, and I say kid, he's 19.
Yeah.
Looks so much more comfortable than he did in Summer League and seems to be really getting along with his teammates. They're all talking about how goofy he is. He certainly is goofy.
Yeah.
And his ball handling skills and his he had one of my favorite plays was an assist from him last night. Like, he's got
the pass to Ferguson.
He's got dunk. Massive dunk. And Eric and I were both saying, like, you could see Ferguson's eyes get wide on that. And I've, like, so often you see plays like that where it's like they get too excited and nope, right amount of excited, massive dunk. He's a guy who has come along really far since just Summer League. And so it'll be interesting to see how guys like that develop into their roles and how big of a role that they're going to play. Because when they drafted him, I was like, oh, maybe he'll get some minutes here and there. And after seeing him, like, he could have some regular time on the floor.
No, he's going to play.
Another intrigue guy.
He's going to play, and he should. And I think it's important for people that watch the Thunder and who are invested in the team to take their time and be patient with him. Because this is the whole point of what the Thunder is doing.
He's not going to look like this.
He's not going to look like they're going to be games where, like, he's getting exposed defensively by just better players.
Remember when everyone was very frustrated with Ferguson at the beginning of last season? He's going to have stretches like that. And absolutely. Ferguson came around and had a fantastic season.
And he scored 12 points off the bench last night and his shot looked great. But, again, preseason. So, patience with Baisley. You know, even patience with a guy like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who I've thought in the scrimmage and in this last game, there have been times where he's over-dribbled and been a little more isolation than you thought you'd see from him. But he can also play off ball. So, you know, at points last night, and I asked Billy Donovan about this, like, what was he thinking when he looks out on the floor and he sees a huddle of guys and it's three 21-year-olds and a 19-year-old? And Nerlens Noel's the oldest guy on the court. He's 26, and he's standing over there kind of by himself. Like, what is Billy Donovan thinking? And Billy Donovan says, well, I didn't check their birth certificates when I sent them out there. But
Bill's got jokes.
Bill was jokey last night. He was in a good mood. I think he felt a little liberated, too, by the way they played. But
it's like, some of these things stuck.
They remember.
It's working. It's working. Billy had the pickle in a bag before the game, too. And he didn't spill anything. He's
celebratory, like, beef jerky after.
He's like, I was feeling pretty good. I didn't spill anything on my shirt. No pickle juice on my shirt. But
I'm supportive of that.
But, yeah, it's something that people are going to have to be patient with, because there are going to be some games where they just play teams like the Clippers and they're not going to be able to do anything offensively. The way that they did tonight, it flowed, and I'd be surprised if they were one of the top.
Flow is flow. Anyone know that reference?
What?
Flow is flow.
Are you talking about, like, progressive flow?
No,
that's what I thought of too.
She's the man when they're she's teaching him how to talk to girls. And do you like cheese?
Maddie, where are we going? Okay. I have not seen She's the Man, so I can't.
Yeah. Okay,
I'm not good with quotes.
Someone out there got it.
I'm sure.
New podcast.
Shouts out to you.
New podcast rule. You have to ask people if they've seen the movie before you say the quote.
That's no fun. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that.
That's no fun, because then everyone knows already. So, like, there are people, I guarantee you, at least one of our listeners
has
seen She's the Man. Okay, listen.
The movie has to be of a certain, like, prestige in society.
How
instance.
Dare
okay,
you?
Okay, hold on. Listen. Listen, when you drop... When
Amanda
you
Bynes is a national treasure.
I've got the perfect analogy.
Before you get onto this, let me say, patience, important for the Thunder. Patience, also important in our job. I've got some people in the video studio waiting for me. Yes. I'm going to duck out now. But
thanks
back to your rant about
us,
videos.
Jenny will be
movies,
back.
Movies, not videos. Movies.
Jenny will be back. But my point is about the movie thing. Okay, for instance, and this is a point for you, Maddie. When we were doing the podcast within the last year, you made a Harry Potter reference. That is a perfectly... You made a Harry Potter reference without saying, hey, has anybody seen Harry Potter? Because I'm one of the people in the minority. I have not followed the Harry Potter, however many movies there are. Seven?
Well, they books? Split some... There's seven books.
Okay. Well, I've seen like three of the seven. I've never read the books. But that is such a thing that is so... universally acclaimed and like ubiquitous like throughout society that like if you drop a Harry Potter reference you don't have to tell you don't to me you don't have to say like hey guys have you seen Harry Potter out there just do it and I'll have to catch up I'll have to go look the thing up but She's the Man
I think we're gonna have to have a movie night and She's the Man is based off of
Harry Potter
oh my gosh really if it right? was no it's based no. off of a Shakespeare play
oh is it
yeah
which one Othello oh wait I know which one
As You Like It
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Oh, wait. No. Wait. Yes. Yes. As You Like It.
You could get that easily confused because Shakespeare had a lot of cross-dressing in multiple plays. Yeah. So.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'll call for all of you out there who have seen She's the Man. And yeah, let's.
If the podcast listeners who have seen She's the Man want to roast me. Feel free because I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a very small grouping of people that Maddie's going to be included with that have actually seen She's the Man.
Among sports fans, it might not be a large crossover. Actually, it has soccer in it. I take that back. Great, huge crossover.
Huge?
Huge. Massive.
All
90% 90% of sports fans should have seen She's the Man.
If you would have said Juana Man, I would have thought.
Anyways, we took this way too far.
It's okay.
Preseason.
It's preseason. We can go places. What did you not like about last night?
I mean, they have to clean up the turnovers for sure. There were obviously some lineups where you're like, ooh, you guys have a little more work to do. But, like, it's hard to say. I feel like in a lot of areas, they're on the right track. What did you not like?
Just the general concept. Like, as we were celebrating the Steven Adams 3, I also just had this... Just my natural inclination is to like bring things into perspective. And to me it was like, why weren't the Thunder doing this 3 years ago?
Well, I think we know why.
Yeah, we do know why. And I think they know why too. And they're not gonna say it, but we can say it because they were kind of trying to fit everything to within the parameters of like how they're gonna maximize Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. And to me that speaks to like a greater problem about this team. It's like a weird line to toe because, one, they've had so much success playing the way that they have. They've gone to 4 Western Conference Finals. They've been to an NBA Finals with ball-dominant stars. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a gift and a curse because unless you win the championship, all you're going to do is get criticism for playing a certain style for however many years. But to me, it's frustrating that they didn't incorporate more of this when they had a Durant. That they, you know, they claim to be this organization that's so forward thinking and has so much foresight, but yeah, at the same time, they've been behind the curve with stretching out fives and for years.
And with Durant, it would have been ahead of the curve. It wouldn't have been like, oh yeah, look at this trend,
yeah.
We're going to join it. It would have been ahead of the curve because you've really seen it pick up in the last few years.
And like. They tried it with Ibaka. Like, it's not like they didn't do it at all because they made Ibaka into a stretch player. But if you start grooming Steven Adams to do this earlier in his career, at this point, he's more adept at it. He's more comfortable with it. And as we know about Steven Adams, he's not a guy who just starts doing stuff. He's a guy who has to go through it and feel it out. And he mentioned that last night.
Yep,
you got to take
20. You got to miss 20 in order to get a feel for timing and everything. That's, yeah, so we can't, the fact that he, the reason I wrote about that three was A, we were all shocked, and B, it was like a sign of how much this team has changed. But don't expect him to be an amazing three-point shooter from here on out. Like, that was the first play of the game. It was a set play. They already knew that it was coming, and he didn't take a three for the rest of the game.
And Billy Donovan said he wanted him to take more.
Yeah, he said that he saw a couple opportunities, and he passed him up. So I think, and Billy was, joking Billy, said he was like, think he was one for one and just didn't want to mess that up. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be that easy of a process for him. And we've seen him. It sounds like they've been working on this in practice, and we've seen him take threes after, well, you've probably seen him do it for longer, but all last season we watched him take threes after practice, but it was always just like a fun, like, let's see how far I can shoot this from sort of thing.
He's clearly capable of it. He showed off some things that we've seen him do before last night, whether it's like a drive and a reverse, being able to facilitate, at the in the high post and around the 3-point line with handoffs, but he didn't do it with the frequency that he did it last night. He had many more touches in the offense last night than he typically does in your standard game, and you just wonder to yourself how this Thunder project would have looked differently in the past 3 years if they'd incorporated more of that. I know that they wanted to make Russell Westbrook and Paul George comfortable. And, you know, Billy Donovan used to talk about all the time how he'd go to Paul and he'd say, what sets do you like, what this and that. And I think that's something that teams have to do with their stars. But another part of getting better in, like, any sect of your life is being made uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that Russell Westbrook did that to an extent, trying to take more catch-and-shoot threes, giving the ball up earlier in possessions in some games. But it always seemed like when it came time to crunch time, not always. I don't want to say always, because there were times where, Westbrook was finding guys for open shooters, and I think he developed that more deeper into his career. But when the Thunder, when it usually came down to it within certain junctures of the game, it would come back to isolation ball. It would come back to something that was more predictable. I think this Thunder offense has to be less predictable because they just don't have those types of players.
Right. Yeah, no, I think when their offense looked the best last night, it was when they were doing a ton of handoffs. That was when they looked the most polished. Because there are other times where you're like, oh, that was fun, but it definitely was like a, okay, I'm going to take my third option, and all right, we'll see how this keeps moving and grooving. But when they looked polished, it was when they were doing a series of handoffs.
Yeah, whether it was a handoff, or it was a guy off ball screening for a guy to pop out to three,
mm-hmm.
Which you saw a couple of different looks there, whether it was like Gallinari getting a three off of that situation or Dennis Schroeder. I really liked the types of threes that they were taking. It wasn't just like direct ball handler coming off of a screen every time. Mm-hmm. It was guy with the ball. Yeah, it was varied looks at taking a three. It was Steven Adams rolling to the corner. It was Danilo Gallinari like faking a cut to the inside and then taking a step back, then receiving a pass off of a screen from another player. There were varied looks at three that we hadn't seen with the guys who usually had the ball in their hands a bunch in Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
Yeah, let's see. What else?
No, go ahead.
Just one weird little statistical side note. Blue and white, Steven Adams had like 40 rebounds. It was insane. Last night.
21.
Oh, 21.
40?
20 of.
I like exaggerations. It's fine. We can give them 20. I mean, are we really?
They had like 21 of their 40.
I think they had like 50 rebounds, and I think he had 21 of the 50. But they out-rebounded them, like, I counted it. They out-rebounded the white team out-rebounded the blue in the scrimmage 50-25.
Oh.
Which is ridiculous. And it was a couple of things. It was, one, the white team, the blue team, other than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, didn't really shoot particularly well. And they were just getting beat to loose balls in that scrimmage.
Right. So, My point is.
Your point.
Stephen Adams had like 21 rebounds in the blue and white scrimmage through three quarters. Quarters. Periods. I guess they're not quarters if there's only three of them.
Ooh, yeah. That was interesting. I think I wrote three quarters.
Well, it is. So it's the length of a quarter. So like kind of, but they only did three of them. I don't know.
But it wasn't even really the length of a quarter because it was the 10. It was 10 minutes.
The length of an international quarter.
Through three thirds. They were playing thirds.
They're playing thirds. Okay. Through three periods, he had 20 some rebounds. Last night, he only had three. And Danilo Gallinari was picking up a lot of that slack, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are going to be nights where you see Gallinari as your top rebounder, or Adams, or even Baisley. Baisley ended up having more rebounds than Adams. So
they played about the same minutes.
Yeah.
Baisley played a lot.
He needs to play a lot.
Yeah.
He needs to play a ton because there might come a time in the regular season where, you know, knowing Billy Donovan, while he needs to play, he might be in and out of the rotation. I don't think he's going to be very much because they just don't have a lot of depth at power forward. And I think that's a place that, you know, when they trade Gallinari, which probably will happen, you know, Baisley's going to get a lot more minutes.
Like ideally for the Thunder.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Top. Don't read too much into these minutes because it's funky rotations because they ended up, you basically were having one set of guys come off the bench. Dude,
some of them just didn't even play in the second half.
Chris Paul
and Gallinari didn't even play.
Yeah, so you had some starters not playing in the second half. You had some bench guys not playing in the first half. It was all weird because it's preseason. But you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 26 minutes. Hamidou Diallo, 24. Dennis Schroeder, 22. Steven Adams, 21. Darius Baisley, 21. Ferguson, 19. And then then you have Danilo Gallinari and Chris Paul. And
what did you think of the three guard lineup?
It worked better than I expected it to. It was hard for me to visualize how these three guys who have all started in their careers were going to share the ball. It ended up being a lot of Chris Paul running the point, which you'd expect, but we saw Russell Westbrook do this last year too. It wasn't a given that he'd bring the ball up every time. Like, you had Shai and you had Dennis bringing up the ball and running some plays and stuff.
I liked it. We knew that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can play off the ball. It looks a lot better when Dennis Schroeder is making shots. If Dennis Schroeder is not hitting his shots, or if they're going up a team that, you know, can overpower them offensively when the Thunder's on defense, because they're going to be giving up size in those lineups.
Yeah. And that we've said on this podcast, that's what we're most concerned about with those lineups, and the Mavs weren't a good gauge for that.
No. No, I mean, Luka Doncic wasn't out there, and
Kristaps Porzingis was it?
Rick Carlisle went into this game with a strange deal. From what I understand, teams make their own preseason schedules, and for some reason, the Mavericks scheduled a back-to-back in preseason.
It's so weird.
This is the thing that I think got kind of lost in this was when this game was originally scheduled, or when the preseason schedule first came out. This wasn't an ESPN game, but they changed it to an ESPN game. Because it was going to be Kristaps' preseason debut, and that's, you know, that's a big draw for people.
And then it wasn't.
And then it would have been, and then Rick Carlisle said, "I don't care."
And he said, "Nope,
nope."
And then he was like, "Yep, not Luka either."
Yeah,
have fun.
And that basically was a FU to. I wouldn't even say it was like a. It was like a indirect FU. I don't know if Rick Carlisle was going full 100% like, "Hey, screw you, TV." But Jeff Van Gundy is there in Tulsa for this broadcast where there's like 8,000 fans in the arena, and Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic don't even play. I can't imagine how disinterested the broadcast was last night.
We'll have to. Oh, I guess Jenny probably didn't hear much of it either since she was watching. And I don't know. That's a tough job. Hey, fill up this preseason game with like the two guys who you thought were going to be of interest, not here. Good luck.
Yeah, they probably talked about a lot of Chris Paul, and Chris Paul played a half. I just can't imagine that covering preseason basketball for TV is any fun anyway, because these guys aren't going to be playing until the fourth quarter, and by the fourth quarter, you're just probably out of material.
Although, at least you get a bunch of new guys, so it's like, oh, here's a fun... this is why I don't do broadcasts, but here's a fun fact about Devin Hall.
Yeah, or you get to mispronounce Lugens Dort.
I just do Lou all the way.
Oh, man. What else from last night stood out to you, that four preseason game? What did you like? I'll tell you what I like. Let's talk more about Bazley. We didn't get to talk about him enough. He can do so many different things, and I don't know if he's going to do so many different things well this season, but you see why the Thunder drafted him, regardless of whether or not they had Westbrook or Paul George on the team or not. Mm-hmm. And at the time that they drafted him, I didn't understand it, and I'll eat an appetizer-sized amount of crow on this. and look, it's still however many games. The kid could wind up being a bust, but we don't wish that on anyone. But at the time, I was thinking that the Thunder should get someone that was a little older and more seasoned in the draft to where they could step in and maybe help immediately. But you just don't draft like that in the 20s.
No.
That's not how it works. The 20s, it's a crapshoot.
He's a guy with a lot of upside.
Yeah.
Like, both he's so long.
Yeah, he's long. I think he still can get even stronger. And he's already got a pretty good body. Like, he's got a good body. And I think he can get even stronger. He's only 19 years old. He might still be growing.
He might. He certainly might. And he's got a varied skills. He's kind of like, you know how Gallinari was talking about how because he played guard, he's able to do all these things that a guard can do.
That's like every big man's story now. Oh, right. I played point guard growing up. Then I shot up 8 inches in a week.
Like, Bazley can do things that guards can do. Really well, and he's just so big, and he seems, no offense to Danilo Gallinari, but Darius Bazley is faster and quicker than he is.
Yeah, he's got a fluidness to him. I think his jumper's not broken. He's not going to come out knocking down 40% of his threes, no. But he hit one last night. As we talked about, the Ferguson pass was great. He tried it again later in the game. Didn't quite work. Defensively, he still needs to work on some stuff. But 19 years old in the NBA, like, you're not going to be a good defender. You're just not going to be a good defender.
You've only ever guarded high schoolers and kids in AAU.
Yeah, and executives in New Balance. Yeah, he was like in the copy room guarding people like last year. it's like, can you get out of the way, Darius? I'm trying to get to the printer there. Why?
It's the Dikembe Mutombo commercials. Yeah. Just playing out New Balance.
Slapping staplers out of people's hands and stuff.
No.
Okay. But yeah, no, Bazley has a lot of upside, and I think that whether or not Russell Westbrook or Paul George were here or not, I think he'd have been a guy who played. He would have. It just doesn't make sense to not play a guy who, and they've talked about this, he has a natural feel for the game. And it's pretty obvious when you see him play. He can dribble. He's not one of these guys like Jeremy Grant, where when you first saw Jeremy Grant, he couldn't dribble without committing an offensive foul. Bazley's got good handles for that size. And I think he's going to be fun to watch develop throughout the year and the next couple of years.
Yeah, if they can do anywhere near the amount of development that they did with Jeremy Grant, with Bazley, he's going to be set.
Yeah.
Be a good player.
I'm interested to see how Ferguson comes along this year. One game, shooting well. We've seen Ferguson go through the hot streaks and such. And what role they use him in. Because, you know, we obviously have started with the three-guard lineup and with Dennis Schroeder as a starter. Does Ferguson become a starter at some point, and does Schroeder come off the bench? Because it gives you something different defensively that Dennis Schroeder against good teams that are going to be putting more size and athleticism on the floor. Schroeder's going to be at a disadvantage defensively. But look, like we saw last night, Schroeder can get hot, and he can carry your offense for yep. periods at a time. You know, with that floater game, being able to get to the rim, he still gets his shot blocked a ton because he's 5'11". But if Ferguson can develop a little bit more, that'll make it easier for Schroeder to be that guy off the bench that can also play in those three-guard lineups, but not have to play, you know, 32 minutes a game, and you can give some of those more to some more of those minutes to Ferguson.
And Schroeder looked good, and he was in there several times with essentially the second unit, and was running the floor well.
Nerlens Noel, hands. We're getting there, I guess. I didn't really see enough of the rest of those guys to really say anything. I mean, obviously, I think Deontay Burton, I think, can get some more looks. He's obviously locked. Now, this is a good word. This is a good use for obviously. When you look at him, he looks different physically than he did last season. He's always been big, but he doesn't look as – he looks more streamlined this year, more defined. And I think that's going to help him because he talked about, you know, navigating screens on defense because he's got these big legs and he can't get around screens sometimes. And that was one of the hardest parts of him coming into the NBA was just, you know, he's got this big body and learning how to, you know, work through it in certain situations. I think that's going to be better for him because he's still a crazy athlete.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's in better condition now.
And it's – when he talks about it, he describes it losing weight as basically – a progression from when he was overseas, because just naturally he was eating more just straight up meat and lean stuff, and then comes back and, you know, tries to keep up some of those eating habits and all that. And so, yeah, I think he dropped weight before his first season here, and he does look lean coming into second.
What'd you think of the Billy Donovan challenge? First challenge.
He lost it. But no, I think it was an exciting moment because it was almost like everyone, like from the fans to the media to the guys on the bench, were like, "Oh yeah, this is a thing. How's this working?"
Challenge a call.
Billy Donovan said post game, you know, I haven't gone back and checked his stats on this, but he was saying, you know, if there's a foul call, that's much less likely to be overturned because there's probably some contact, and so it's harder for them to overturn the call on the floor. So I don't think he had. He also joked more Billy Donovan jokes. He like asked Tommy, you know, was that an offensive foul? And he was like, no.
Don't take advice from 21-year-olds.
So he was like, Tommy might be done with challenges. Yeah.
A little bit of advice for Billy Donovan. Don't take advice from 21-year-olds who aren't known for their control on drives as to whether or not he committed an offensive foul or not.
But I think it was a moment where it was – I don't think he had high hopes. I don't think he was –
he was having fun.
He was just like, hey –
let's try.
I could use this. Yeah. Let's see how it works.
Let's try it.
And you had guys on the bench, like Steven Adams went and talked to one of the officials, not to argue anything, but just to be like, okay, how does this work?
Yeah, Steven Adams and Chris Paul were very interested in the entire process. And Billy said that he was talking to them about the percentages.
Yeah.
So giving them a little bit of like, analytics for dummies, I guess. I don't know. Not that they're dummies. They can
probably
get
books.
Tons of analytics. But what'd you say?
I love those books. The For Dummies.
Yeah. I haven't read one in a while, though. I should probably read Journalism for Dummies.
Yeah. I've never read one cover to cover, but sometimes it's nice to be like, hey, let's remind ourselves.
Are Cliff Notes still a thing? Or have they been replaced by For Dummies? Like,
they've been
like
replaced
Macbeth for Dummies.
By Spark Notes.
Spark Notes.
That's what we used in high school.
I'm dating myself here. I have not been in college in a while.
Good stuff. I mean, I read all of the things that I was ever assigned to read.
Stop it. You were softballing and What, beef jerky? And
one of like my advisor in college called me out after, like, I thought I was getting away with it, and we had a like and I did well in school, guys. I swear I'm not just a slacker, but we had like an end of the year like get together with the department, and one of my classmates was complimenting me on things I said in class or something, and my advisor just goes, "Too bad you never read the books."
Whoa, hey!
It was a good moment.
What grade did you get in the class?
I don't remember, but I passed.
C's get degrees.
I think it was above a C.
C's get degrees. Conspiracy theory, you ready?
Yeah.
What if the Thunder is touting Steven Adams's skill set and awesomeness and things he can do in order to trade him?
Ooh. It's interesting.
I don't believe in it. I'm just throwing it out there. Because yeah. I think they really do value who he is and the kind of stuff that he just brings to the facility every day.
I think they do too. And I think if someone came up to them and was like, "I need Steven Adams, what's it going to take?" They'd do it.
Yeah, they would listen.
Yeah.
I don't think they're making calls, but they're listening.
Yeah.
I think as an NBA franchise, like in the position they're in, they have to listen on everything. I think you listen.
Danilo Gallinari. I wouldn't blame them for they're making calls.
That's a different situation too, yeah, because he's a guy who I think playoff teams are going to be after. He's going into the last year of his contract. He's 30 years old.
And I'm sure he would love to play in the playoffs.
Yeah. And he can help a team. He can help a playoff team right now. But showing that Steven Adams can do some things in a season where you're not going for a top four seed, you're not trying to win a championship necessarily, that's not going to hurt you in any way, shape, or form. Even Steven Adams is going to get better one way or the other. And if you decide that someone comes at you with an offer and you want to pivot, it's because you showed people that Steven Adams can get better and Steven Adams can do things that are going to help a modern NBA offense.
I almost made a Friends reference, but I know that
there's a large swath of people out there who've seen Friends. If you want to make a Friends reference, Maddie, you go right ahead.
It's off of Pivot. They already know. They got it.
Pivot? Mm-hmm. So basically the word pivot has triggered a Friends reference?
Uh-huh. Man. Watch it.
I gotta find my show that I can just drop references on that everybody knows.
My references are so scattered. I've got so many Disney ones.
I like to do the Anchorman one about when I say something wrong or someone says something wrong. I just say San Diegoans. But I don't know if enough people get that one either.
I think they do.
We're rambling.
Stay classy, Oklahoma.
I never make that one. It's too obvious.
My bad.
I like obscure references.
Oh, but when I make my...
You wouldn't have heard of it. It's too obscure.
But when I make my She's the Man reference, that's not allowed.
But my obscure reference is within the context of a popular movie. Like, Anchorman has been seen by a lot of people, but I don't make the most obvious reference in Anchorman. I make one that's a little bit more deep cut.
So you know the real fans.
Sure.
All right, we don't need to talk more about this.
We don't. Let's wrap it up. I mean, by the time people listen to this, they're going to be probably playing another preseason game. They're playing the New Zealand Breakers on Thursday.
Well, at that point, at least all of our movie talk will be still relevant.
If someone could take anything from this podcast, it's that I like deep cut movie quotes from popular movies.
And She's the Man is a fantastic movie.
I mean, I guess you could take that from this podcast if you want. I'd have to see the movie to make that determination.
Do it.
Pivot. Drain the pickle bag before you get in the car, unless you drink it.
Life
lessons. Some people like to drink the pickle juice.
Honestly, I'm a pickle juice drinker. It's great for hydration.
And look, since Jenny's gone, I can say this, but we've obviously made a lot of pickle and beef references on the podcast today. Look, y'all, grow up, okay? I'm just and juice and just grow up, all right? Just grow up.
I will block you if you make them at me.
I will block you. Blockers. All right. We got to go, man. This is ridiculous.
Preseason form.
Last thing, Andre Robertson didn't play. The Thunder's being very careful with him. We did see him.
He's expected to practice today.
Yeah, we did see him in at shoot around going through some 3-on-3 with coaches. It didn't look like players, just coaches. And, you know, he wasn't cutting, like, all defensive team Andre Robertson, but he was making some moves. He was jumping some passing lanes, doing stuff, but it didn't look like it was at full go. It looks like he still kind of, to me, doesn't have, like, I wouldn't even say he has, like, full flexibility almost. It looks like he's kind of a little stiff. And maybe that's to be understood once you've had as many setbacks as he's had, and he's kind of made it clear, and I think his dad, just talking to him, has made it clear that they were going to go about it a little bit more carefully this time around. He doesn't look like he's got, like, full kind of flexibility. And I have to be careful about how I say this, though, because I'm not a doctor, and I don't even know the parameters of, like, what he is and isn't able to do. They say he's able to do everything. But there are also times where he pulls himself from practice. He's still working on his conditioning, obviously. They're being careful with him. They said he's had soreness. They've admitted to that. So when he does have soreness, it's not going to be a situation in the past where he's pushing through it for his rehab. They're just taking it more carefully than they did before because, you know, the last time he went through his rehab aggressively, they find a fracture.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people out there are chomping at the bit for, like, Andre Robertson game action, but
it doesn't make sense.
It's just like,
and they've, like, what's the difference between a year and a half and 21 months? Like, if it's sustainable?
Yeah. Long silences. We'll end on that. Thanks for joining us on the Thunder Buddies podcast today. Make sure to download, subscribe, and listen on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you after Thursday's game against the New Zealand Breakers. Thanks again.